Welcome to the Forward with Purpose podcast. Your hosts are Linda Keener Thomas from the National Memorial for the Unborn and Mindy Lefishore from An Even Place Virtual Abortion Healing Groups and Coaching for Pro-Life Ministry Workers. We understand the power of addressing the abortion wound, which then allows us to confidently stand in the gap for the next person. We also understand how lonely and heavy this work can be. This podcast is designed to connect you with other leaders doing this work, to learn from the vast wealth of knowledge and experience that is out there. God has designed you for greater things. God has commissioned you to a precious and sacred place in abortion recovery ministry work. It is our hope you are encouraged and equipped as you move forward with purpose in your ministry. Aubrey Decker with Juniper Glory is our special guest today. I love that we met in the Ohio group. And actually, where Linda and I met, my co-host, we also met for the first time in the Ohio group about 3 years ago. We both attended, as I think Sylvia had said, hey, you got to get on this group. Or maybe it was Terry from the helpline. I don't know. They said, you got to get on this group. So I got on the group. And they're, you know, where are y'all from? And we were putting it down. And, you know, Linda said, I'm in Nashville. And I was like, oh, somebody near me. And I'm private messaging her, you know, hey, we got to meet. And she's like, yeah. So she came down for lunch and the rest is history. And we started this podcast shortly after that. And because she was just entering back into abortion recovery space and she wanted to hear what was going on because she'd been gone for a long time. And I told her, I said, look, I'm starting this ministry. I really just want to hear from other leaders, you know, and know, am I on the right track? Am I missing anything? Is my vision in line, you know? And really what I found is over those phone calls is that they were just as hungry to talk to other abortion recovery leaders as I was. And I thought, wow, and they've been doing this. So that's really how it got started. And that's how you and I met, was in this, this group. And, I'm so thankful for this group. There's so much good that has come out of the AR Advocates, in which is Abortion Recovery Advocates out of Ohio. So if you don't know what group that is and you want to get connected with other abortion recovery leaders, you can contact me and I'll help you get connected. But, and I'm going to keep calling you by the wrong name because I keep looking at the name on your screen. So if I call you,
sorry,
I'm so sorry. Because she has the wrong name on her screen. But Aubrey, I have not had an opportunity to hear your story, but I would love to. So would you share it with us?
Yeah, absolutely. And just thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to do that. So I'm going to start maybe further back than what many people have told you, like on their stories. But so I grew up in a home, a broken home, and I was acquainted with grief pretty early in life. You know, my parents were divorced, and then I've moved over 20 times, actually. Not an army brat. It just was family dysfunction, abandonment and abuse and stuff like that. And so I was acquainted with that grief. And while that was happening, on my mom's side, when I was with my dad was remarried, and he was married to a woman named Patty. And she was an amazing, just person that loved the Lord. And she was just an incredible light. And, she was diagnosed, unfortunately, with ovarian cancer, at the age of 29. And she fought for 6 years, and, she passed on February 24th, 2011, 6 days after my 18th birthday.
Oh.
And,
to the Lord?
Did
she lead you to the Lord?
In many ways, yes. I mean, God had, like, I don't know, when I think about my story and I think about everything that he's brought me through, I feel like I just feel this tangible grip that he's had on my heart. And so I think in many ways, Patty was somebody that displayed the gospel to me. And I didn't get that in every other area and in many other areas of my life. So she was just this person that, even though she was sick, she was displaying the gospel to me And I never felt like her stepdaughter. I felt like her daughter, and just felt super loved by her. And I'm so grateful for the impact that she had on my life. And I only really, because she was diagnosed 6 months after my dad and her got married.
Wow.
And so I really only had her for 6 to 7 years in my life, but those were the most important formative years of my life, and I'm so grateful. So she did. She had such a huge impact in my life. And then I also lost my cousin, who was my closest cousin. He was 22 years old, and one day his heart just stopped.
Wow.
Yeah, he had an undiagnosed heart condition, and his heart just stopped, and that completely was devastating. And so I've been acquainted with grief, and abandonment, and feeling lost. And so I think when I think about it now, in hindsight, I think that's what kind of drew me into pregnancy center ministry, was just this idea that there are so many people that are struggling, and that pregnancy centers are being the hands and feet of Jesus, and they are going into these spaces and they are helping people when nobody else is
Yeah.
seeking to help them. And,
And as you say grief and this acquaintance with grief and connecting that to the pregnancy center, I mean, really, grief isn't just wrapped up in losing a person. It's wrapped up in losing dreams and desires and
yeah.
relationships and reputation, and these women come in that
Yeah.
have probably lost a lot of those things. Maybe they've lost a career or, a friendship, and that because of pregnancy, whether they're having children or they're choosing abortion. And there's a lot of grief that is in that that can be addressed and help them walk in a more healthy space. So I like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we are all, unfortunately, in our lives, we all come across that a grief in one form or another, multiple forms. And so I think that's what kind of drew me in to that ministry. And so I started volunteering really shortly after my husband and I got married. And I'm married to, I wanted to say this, his name is Abraham,
I
and
love
he's a
that.
lumber snack. He's a lumber snack. That's right, ladies. He has a beard. He's the love of my life. So, and I started volunteering for our local pregnancy center. And shortly into that volunteering, I found myself applying to be the client services coordinator. And I met with women who were coming in with unplanned pregnancies. And I found that I kept, and I, again, I say in hindsight, I noticed these things. But in the moment, I was like, Lord, why do I have such a passion? Why do I have such a passion for this when this is, not my story? I didn't have this unplanned pregnancy. I didn't have, but why do I just have this draw? And I do. I think it's that grief. And also, God brought me to a point where, before I was married, and this is not with my husband, but I did not make great choices after my stepmom passed away, after Patty passed away. I went into a downward spiral, and I compromised myself in ways that I wish I never would have. And so the reason I wasn't sitting on the other side of that room was because of God's grace towards me, not because of anything that I merited in myself. And I can see that now, but I couldn't see that then. And so when I started working there, my executive director, Toni Brubaker, some of you guys might know her, she's incredible. And she really single-handedly did all of the abortion recovery ministry there, and she did it with such passion and conviction and excellence. And I was privileged enough to get to help her in different areas in abortion recovery ministry, and that was the thing, though, that really just hooked me, was abortion recovery ministry. There is something so incredibly powerful about seeing God change people's lives. They walk in and they're a different person than
Yes.
when they walk out,
Yes, and I think anybody listening
right?
to this podcast would agree with you. And I love, okay, so you come to us without abortion in your past, and you come with a heart that says, I need Jesus just like everybody else does. And I see the pain that they're in, and I want to step into that pain with them. And I love that because not many people without abortion in their past do that so eloquently. But at the same time, we are seeing dozens and dozens and dozens of women. I can't remember how many were in your cohort, but every single cohort that we've had for the Forgiven and Set Free University has had multiple women in there who do not have abortion in their past, but feel like the Lord is calling them into it. And I say, yes, thank you, Lord, because we need you. There is an extra layer of healing. You know, when I sit in front of somebody who has an abortion and I'm telling her my story and she's receiving me, that's great. But we have that in common, right? But when I'm sitting in front of you or someone who doesn't have an abortion and I'm telling you my story and you're accepting me and saying, God is good, isn't he? He can save you just like I needed to be saved. Same. Adds an extra layer of healing because that shame in us is so thick that we think that we can't talk to anybody but who's had an abortion, and it's just not true. And in fact, just as a side note, you know, when we're doing our intakes, we're always asking the ladies, you might have a leader who does not have abortion in her past. How do you feel about that? We want to know because we want to make sure that we put her in a right group. And if she has a problem with it, we'll just find her a group in our groups that has both abortion, you know, both of them have abortion in it. But more times than not, I've never heard anybody say no, but I have heard them say, well, I mean, I at least one person have abortion in their past I feel most comfortable with. They'll say that. But you know, but for the most part, once they get into the group and we lead them in and we let that leader talk and tell her story, they can connect with her more times than not. So it's just a beautiful thing. So thank you. I just kind of want to put that plug in there. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for stepping into this ministry faithfully and willingly and obediently because we need you.
Thank you. Thank you. And I guess for me, I've never quite understood why there wasn't more people that didn't have abortion in their past that felt the same way. And I think because for me, I'm like thinking, if you really truly understand what Jesus has done for you,
Yes.
like how can you not have that same compassion for somebody else?
And I would say
Right? And
thing that there is an element of uncomfortableness. So, like, there are certain ministry areas that I won't step into because I don't have it because that connection isn't there. Really, how to talk to them. And it's not that I couldn't learn, but neither do I feel called to it.
No, I understand completely.
Definitely a calling. Like, we don't want somebody just saying, well, I want to step in because I want to see this transformation. You know, they need to be called, right?
Right? Yes. 'Cause like, yeah, I totally understand that. 'Cause I guess when I think about it, and I didn't mean to say like, oh, these people, like, why aren't they jumping in and
Oh,
doing it? I
no,
just meant
I got you. I got you.
like, yeah, okay. I'm glad.
No, I got you. I was just adding to it. That's all. No, because it's true, you know, because I think you hit on a very good point. I think it's true that there's probably women out there that have a calling and they don't understand it or they're afraid of it or they aren't sure how to navigate it and they felt intimidated by it because abortion is a tender subject and maybe they just don't want to hurt somebody. And they're a little bit afraid of the training or, you know, that they couldn't be trained or because they don't have it in their past, you know, whatever their fears are. We come up with all kinds of things to keep us from doing stuff. So I think it's a good thing that you brought it up. And I think there are those out there that are holding back when they should be.
And I remember too, I kind of, you know, this was a decade ago that I started doing this. And so, like, I came into it and there was still a lot of the culture was, if you don't have abortion in your past, you're not allowed to be in this. Like, I had gone to an event the one time and I brought Dignified to the event. And I had to sit out in the hallway and make bracelet tags because they wouldn't let me in because I wasn't post-abortive and they hadn't communicated that.
Wow.
And they didn't let anybody that wasn't post-abortive, to my knowledge, they didn't let anybody in that wasn't. And so, and I don't know if there were other people that wanted like that were trying to get in before that point. So there is a huge difference between a decade ago and now, and I think we're seeing that shift, and it's a beautiful, much needed shift. And now, now I'm in the room, but I had to have a proxy with me to do that, and
Now
I
we're all
totally
the
understand
same.
why. Yeah, I
Now we're all the
understand
same.
why they did that. You know what I mean? I don't hold that against them at all, but that's just the shift that we see going on, and I'm
That's a
just
good shift.
amazed by that. Yeah, a good shift.
And it's an interesting thing to watch, right? Well, I want to make sure we talk about Dignified and Juniper Glory. So, since you mentioned Dignified, let's talk about that first. Tell us what that is.
So Juniper Glory, sorry, you just said Dignified and I went right into Juniper Glory.
It's all right.
You can edit this out. So Dignified is a bracelet ministry that I started. No, this was oof, at least 8, 9 years ago. And all it is it's each element of the bracelet has a different specific meaning, and those meanings are meant to minister to the post-abortive woman's heart while also bringing people that don't have abortion in their past into that conversation, and into that arena. So I'll just start out by explaining the elements of the bracelet and how that'll kind of lead me into how that impacts people. But so it's made with a leather cord, and that leather cord represents how God has bound up all of our sins. The wooden bead represents the cross where he died for our sins. The pearl that's on there represents one child who was and is valuable, unique, and formed by God. And then the dignified tag on one side has a dignified symbol. And by wearing this bracelet, you are saying you're acknowledging this child's existence and their importance, and you are choosing to pray for the family that this child is connected to. And then on the other side, there's a number, and it corresponds to the one of the over 63 million abortions in America since 1973. And we started with one, and we're selling them consecutively, one by one. So it's bringing dignity to these children one by one.
Now, how far have you got?
Oh gosh, I don't, I not very, not super far into in the realm of
And millions, right?
but
But
we're
tell us the number
into,
because we're listening and we need to these and supporting that and using that tool as a tool to talk about the pain of abortion and the loss that abortion brings.
So I'm thinking we're in around 250 right now. So not very far, but
It's still a
I
good
mean,
number. Yeah, I think that's a great number. In fact, I need to get out there and buy one. How much are they?
they're $25, and 80% of that goes back into the abortion recovery ministry here in Fremont, Ohio. And then that $5 goes back into purchasing materials and brochures and stuff like that. And I make little cards that have all the meanings on it. And then the other really cool thing about it is that it gives the women opportunities to have something with their baby's names or initials on it. When a lot of people, they don't have that. So I make personalized tags for the bracelet so that they have something that has their baby's names or initials on it. And that has been a very powerful thing.
Yeah, so there's a second tag on there. Okay, that's great.
And I do that, for free, because I've been able to maintain that at this point. I don't know when I get up into the millions how that's gonna go. But and I'm hoping that, I think it would be a really great gift and tool for women that are leading post-abortive ministries, as a gift for their clients as well.
Now, the tag with the initial, I'm curious, what about those who've had multiple abortions?
So I'll make multiple tags.
Okay.
Some women, they want multiple bracelets. They
Okay.
want a bracelet for each of their children.
I see.
That's just sometimes they do. Sometimes they just want that one bracelet and they want all of the tags on that bracelet.
I see.
And the reason I don't put multiple pearls on one bracelet is because I am numbering them.
The pearl isn't
It's kind of like the idea. Yeah.
is
Sorry, what
representing
was that?
your child. The
Yeah.
pearl, we've been having some audio on my end
Okay.
lag, and it happened with the previous guest too, so I apologize. But that pearl isn't meant to represent, like, if I were to order one, it's not representing my
Yep.
child. It's representing a child lost to abortion.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, absolutely. And the significance of that is just the importance of how much does God care about the one, right?
Yes.
He leaves the 99. And so that's something that I kind of also wanted to write into that was just within the symbolism of it, was just how much he cares for that one. And that welcomes people, whether they have abortion in their past or not, to be a part of it and
Right.
to, you know, pray, to be praying
Yes.
about, to be praying for healing for
A
the
nation.
moms, the dads, the grandparents, the siblings, the
Yes.
friend that drove their friend to get an abortion, whatever that looks like, whatever involvement has been in there. But we're welcoming people on any side of it to be praying and to be involved and to talk about it. When you
That's
wear that bracelet, somebody's going to ask you about it,
yeah.
right? Oh,
That's
where'd you get that?
I love your view.
Yeah, so
Yeah. Wow. So, I want to take a few minutes before we lose our time here to also talk about Juniper Glory, because you have a second I guess ministry. I don't know if these are separate, like you've made separate entities out of them or what you're doing, but just tell us about Juniper Glory a little bit and how that came about.
okay. So I'm working as a client services coordinator. I find out that I'm pregnant, and I'm, you know, super excited. And my husband and I, before I got pregnant, was decided that I was going to be a stay-at-home mom, and I was, you know, excited about that. And so after we had our daughter, this was in 2018. I decided to be a stay-at-home mom, and I was staying at home and I'm taking care of her. But there was a after like that first initial period of time where I'm learning how to be a mom and I'm doing all the things, I can't get away from Pregnancy Center Ministry. I keep being drawn back in. The Lord has this tether on my heart. And so I was like, you know what I can do in this season of my life is I can be a board member. And so I became a board member where I served there for, I believe, 6 years. It's a little fuzzy, but I believe 6 years. And my goal in this process was to continue being involved in Pregnancy Center Ministry. I would go and I would attend conferences still, and particularly conferences attached to post-abortive ministry. And I decided that I was going to, you know, become the secretary and then work up into being the, you know, the vice president of the board. And then maybe someday, if the Lord allowed and it wasn't too terribly scary, I could be the president of the board. And so that was kind of the track that I saw coming down the road. And I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna do it. So as I was going to these conferences, I went to one where it was actually a specific training for different curriculums, and they had a grief curriculum, they had a post-abortive curriculum, they had a, I think it was Unbound, which was healing from past sexual soul ties. And I was like, man, wouldn't it be amazing if we had something for miscarriage recovery, stillbirth, infant loss, right? And I remember I turned to Tony and Marissa, who were my executive director and center director, respectively. I turned to them and I just said, and this was in October of 2020, I said, you know, I have such a like heart for women that lose their babies, but I don't have it in my past, and so I don't think that I can lead that, but I'm happy to help in any way. You know, I'm here. I want to help. Well, that was a foolish statement.
Is a divine statement.
Well, in December of 2020, so 2 months later, my husband and I had found out that I was expecting again. And on December 22nd, 2020, my daughter and I were dancing in the living room. We had a fire going in the fireplace. We had our Christmas tree up and we had just decorated it. And my husband's outside and he's chopping firewood. And it was just the most Hallmark like picture that you can think of. And 2020 was a rough year. So it was just kind of like this breath of fresh air. And here I am, I'm carrying this child and there's hope in carrying this new life. And I was just so excited. And the night before, I was doing my devotions, and it was Psalm 127:3, children are a gift from the Lord, they are a reward from him. And so I wrote that down on a sticky note and I put it beside my bed. And that next day, I'm dancing with my, you know, she was 2 years old at that point, and I 2 and a half, and I was dancing with her, and all that Hallmark was going on. And I stopped to go to the bathroom. And I just saw red. And I was so confused. You know, I hadn't experienced this before, and I had no reason to believe that my pregnancy would have ended, so I just didn't see it coming at all.
Right.
And but it was unmistakable. I knew that my pregnancy, my baby had died. And I spent that night crying underneath my Christmas tree, begging God to let me keep my child. And that was like just a different kind of grief. I mean, all grief is grief, but it was a new grief for me. And I went and I had to sing for this for Christmas. So I do worship team. I've been doing worship team now for 18 years, and it's one of my favorite things. I love serving the Lord in that way, and it's an absolute blessing. But I was due to sing the next day for Christmas services in front of a few thousand people, a solo, and I'm singing about Jesus coming down as this baby. And I'm miscarrying this baby, and I remember like thinking, like, how am I gonna stand up there? How am I gonna do that? Like, I don't know if I can do that. And you know, the Lord really comforted me right away, and he was just like, just trust me. And he gave me the strength to get up there and do that. And I remember I'm standing up there and I'm singing and I'm cramping and I'm singing about Jesus coming as this baby, and I'm losing my baby. And it occurred to me that I'm singing about the one that made it possible for me to see my child again. I'm singing about his coming. And he is the reason why I will see my child again. And that gave me this hope. And I was singing the word glory over and over again. And he just comforted me. Aubrey, I'm going to use this. I don't know what it was. It was the Holy Spirit. That's the only explanation. But it was just, Aubrey, I'm going to use this, and it will be for my glory.
Wow.
And so my husband and I spoke, and we decided to name our first baby Glory after that promise. And fast forward a little bit, we had actually started we were kinship placed with a little girl for a while, and that was a super hard season in my life. I don't think I realized how difficult it was going to be after losing a baby to jump right into something like that. But I was pregnant again, and this was in May of 2021. So, roughly 5 minutes or 5 months later, and I'm sitting in court for this little girl, and I start to miscarry. I could feel the cramps. I could, and I'm sitting in court, and that was also really hard because you're just like, you're sitting in court hearing all the reasons why this person like doesn't have their child, and it's heartbreaking, and that's a hard thing to reconcile as somebody who experiences infertility or losses like this. Is like, Lord, why do you give children to some people and not to others? And that's a hard thing to reconcile. So I remember I was instantly bitter, instantly bitter, and I was super angry, and I hit a downward spiral that, oh my gosh, like I was suicidal. I was bad. It was bad for a while. And I was hurting in a way that I feel like there was all this other stuff, all these things that had cropped up from my past and from my upbringing that were cropping up, and they were manifesting in this way where I couldn't handle it. And my husband finally was like, yeah, we're gonna get you some counseling. We're gonna get you some counseling. And I started getting counseling with a couple in our church, and they helped me a lot. And it was biblically based counseling, which I love biblically based counseling. I think that it's incredibly helpful. And my husband and I made the difficult decision that we weren't going to pursue adoption for this child, even though that was really hard, but we really felt like there was a lot of aspects of the situation that we felt it would be better for her and for our family to be placed with somebody that was more prepared than we were, because we just were not prepared. And that was another type of loss that was very difficult. But through all of that, I had found there was like a miscarriage help, and it was about like an hour away from me. And I went to that for a little while, or I finished it, I went through it. And I just really felt like the Lord was tugging on my heart after that and just saying, Aubrey, like, I think you need to write something too. I think you need to write something as well. And I'll never forget, I was sitting there in this one class, and there was this verse. And it's like they'd given me verses over and over and over again, like different ones here and there, but there was this verse, and I don't know what it was, but it just like grabbed my attention. And it was Isaiah 55:13. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, and instead of briars the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, an everlasting sign that will last forever. And that verse was like, Aubrey, do you not remember the lesson I taught you before? Do you not remember that I'm going to use this? Do you not remember that I am a God who restores all things, who makes all things beautiful, and is going to use this, and it will be for my glory? And it was a come to Jesus moment for me. And I'm sure that the lady that was helping me, the sweet lady that was helping me, was like, I don't know why this verse really impacted her, but I'm glad that it did. And I spoke to my husband, and we decided that we were going to name our second baby Juniper after that. So we had Glory Noel and Juniper Isaiah. And I started writing. I don't know. God was like, write. And I just started writing. And I wrote the client portion of Juniper Glory, which is what we decided to name this program after, our babies in heaven. And I wrote this where I just for clients, and I started meeting with clients, and I did that for a while, probably about a year or a year and a half. And I hadn't written anything up for facilitators or anything like that. And I got invited to submit a breakout proposal for the CareNet conference in 2024. And I was like, okay. And I had already seen how God had used Juniper Glory to impact people's lives. And it was incredible. And it wasn't me, it was all him. And like, it was an incredible thing to watch him change people and to use something like the loss of a child to impact somebody's entire life, because it affects every area of our lives. And the God's word touches every area of our lives. We can't help but, when we submit to his word, we can't help but be changed. And so I really felt like God was like, okay, Aubrey, well, you can't hide it underneath a basket. There's other people out there that could really benefit from this. And so I did apply to be a speaker at the CareNet conference in 2024, and I got accepted, which was incredible. Never thought that would happen. And I was a cra I crazy wrote, like, it was crazy. I took like 4 months and I wrote the entirety of the facilitator portion, compiled everything, so that I could have it there and exhibit there and start the process of getting this into people's hands. And by the time that I left the conference, there were already three centers that had signed on and were ready to start offering this in their center. They saw the value of it. And just with my background, what I think was why I chose to do it that way was I saw the Post Word of Ministry, and I saw how these groups and these retreats were impacting people's lives. And I thought, we need to have something for this type of loss as well. And just doing it in that format, I could see the value of pregnancy centers doing that, because women are already coming through our doors with pregnancy related issues. So it would only be natural for them to come to a pregnancy resource center for pregnancy loss.
Yeah.
And I was kind of thrown into realizing how much these two areas connect with one another.
Wow.
You have women that have abortion in their past, and then they experience a miscarriage, and it might be that miscarriage that finally opens their heart to how much healing they need from their past abortion. Women that are struggling with infertility, and they are now realizing how impactful their abortion has been in their life. Or, it touches everything. The way that we care for women that have miscarriages is influenced by the way that we view abortion, and vice versa. And so that was really neat. And I knew that it just needed to be something that was geared towards the pro-life ministry. And so, yeah, so now we're in like close to 20, 19, 18, 19.
Exciting.
Yeah, and been training in all over the country. So I could read off the places that it's at if you'd like.
Not on here, but I do want to ask
Okay.
a couple questions. I'm curious about, I just want to kind of go back to the beginning of this, where you were at the CareNet conference and you turned
Yeah.
to me and Marissa and you said, I see, I don't feel like I need to write this because I don't know much about it, but I'd help in any way. And seeing the big picture, I get a 50,000 foot view, but you went through that. And there was a lot of pain, obviously, by what you shared in your story. Why do you think it was important that God put that in your heart to say those things at that time, prior to everything you would go through? A lot of times we go through things and it's after we go through that we realize, maybe I ought to help. Like with me, I wasn't thinking about helping anybody with abortion recovery until after I went through it, right? So
Yeah.
why do you think it was important for him to show you ahead of time or give you a heart for it ahead of time?
That's a good question. I think that something that I've learned in this whole process has been that our talents and our abilities and our experiences are not what qualifies us to be to step into the spaces that God has us stepping into. You look at biblical accounts, and he usually called people that, on paper, you're like, why? Like, I'm sure Moses felt completely unqualified, but I think that we look at the things that come from him. We look that we have the infallible word of God. We have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We have the Holy Spirit looking, living inside of us, and we think, oh, how could I possibly help anyone else? That's not enough. And it should be,
Right.
right?
That's all we
It
need.
should be. And I think for me that him revealing that to me then, and through that process, allowing me to be in that place then and now, it's given me a boldness to step into spaces that maybe I wouldn't normally have stepped into. If he calls you, you go, right?
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, there's so much beauty on the other side of that. And my story is still playing out
Right.
with all of this. I ended up having another loss in February, and it was actually on February 24th. If you remember, that was the same day that Patty died.
Oh.
February 24th, 2025 was when we lost our last one, and that was after 4 years of infertility, of nothing. And I remember God, like, I remember thinking, like, Lord, I already wrote a book. Why can't you give me my happy ending, my rainbow, or whatever, whatever that is? And I think he reminded me, we look for redemption and that neat little bow through circumstance. And when we are whole and complete in him alone,
Yes.
through his yeses, through his noes, and all of his will, he has already redeemed us, and he has already given us everything that we need. And so I think that's an important thing for if there are people that are listening that are experiencing infertility, or they're experiencing those losses, just to know that, God sees you. He is writing your story. He has his hand on your life, and that just because our circumstances aren't what maybe we would choose or what we would want, that doesn't mean that he can't make something absolutely beautiful out of that. And he is, even though sometimes I'm kicking and screaming about it, he has used, I know my children, who the rest of the world might have looked at and said that their lives were insignificant. He used them for an eternal purpose. And there are people that I will probably never meet
Right.
that are being impacted in their name, and God is using them. And if that isn't beauty, then I
Oh,
don't know what is.
that's so beautiful, Aubrey. Man, I'm kind of speechless, and I'm so blown away by your story. Thank you for being so transparent and just sharing it all for us and being obedient to do what everything that God put in front of you to do, even the hard things of motherhood lost and having to honor these children and in a different way than what your heart wanted. So I
Yeah.
appreciate that. How can people get a hold of you to get a hold of this? What is the best way, I guess, for them to get a hold of you for the study, but also for the bracelets? Is there two different places to go?
So they can just go to my email, and I will make sure, maybe if I don't know if you want to link that in your description, but
Yes.
just juniper.glory.national@gmail.com. And that's the best way to get a hold of me for either of those things. You can also get a hold of me at dignified.setfree@gmail.com. And that's usually what I use for more of the post-abortive side of what I do.
Okay. We'll put
So.
both of those in the show notes to make sure that they're both in there correctly. And well, I appreciate your time and your openness. And I love what God's doing. I love how he just keeps using people, because there's more than what you do. You and I talked about this. We'll have to do this some other time, but there's more to what you do for to help women with the post-abortive restoration stuff. And I want people to hear about that too. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Mindy. Thank you for the opportunity.